Tonight I want to preach a message about a backslidden preacher. It can happen. Preachers can backslide. It has happened in the past. It'll happen in the future. And so tonight I want to preach a message about a backslidden preacher. His story is recorded in that little book called Jonah. And so we're turning in the Word of God to that Old Testament book of Jonah. You'll find that little book nestled in between the books of Joel, Amos, and Obadiah on one side, and Micah, Nahum, and Habakkuk on the other side. Go to near the end of the Old Testament, you'll find those books, and you'll find this little book of Jonah nestled in between those books of Obadiah and Micah. We want to read quite a lengthy reading tonight, the opening two chapters, just 27 verses. And then we want to bring the message that God has very clearly laid upon my heart for the meeting tonight. And so Jonah chapter 1, we're taking the reading from the opening verse right to the very end of the verse number 10 of chapter number 2. Let's hear God's word. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee on to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them on to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth wares that were in the ship onto the sea to lighten it off them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they said every one to his fellow, "Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us?" For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. He said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. The sea ceased from her raging. The men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and thy billows and thy waves passed over me. And I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth was her bar, with her bars was before about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The end of reading there at the end of the second chapter. Let's briefly engage in a word of prayer. Our loving Father and our loving God in heaven, we come before thee tonight in Christ's all precious name. We come, O God, now to the preaching of thy word, fully aware of our own limitations as a mere man. And O God, our own frame, we're conscious, Father, that except the Lord would open the heart of men and women, unless the Lord by his Spirit challenges lives, then, O God, we're aware that nothing of eternal worth will be accomplished in this meeting. But we thank thee for the presence of the Lord, where two or three are gathered together in my name, and there am I in the midst. We pray that as this meeting progresses, that there might be a deepening sense of the divine presence among us, that help might be given in the preaching of thy word, that glory might be brought along to thy precious name. Take away, O God, all that would bring distraction. Grant our hearts to be centered upon that which we have before us in this passage of God's word. Encourage us, Lord, and challenge our hearts. May we heed the warning that the life of Jonah brings to us all. For we pray these petitions, believing, and in through the name of Christ, our lovely Savior. Amen and amen. The names of Habakkuk, Nahum, Obadiah and Zephaniah are certainly not names that you'll find on a list of popular names for baby boys. Ask a man on the street who these men are, and I'm sure a blank look on the person's face will inform you that they haven't a clue who you're talking about. But ask them if they've ever heard of Jonah, and I believe a greater percentage would have heard of such a man. They'll be able to recall at least something about this prophet of God who got swallowed by a great fish in the Mediterranean Sea and survived the whole experience. Little is known about this prophet from God. What we have in this book, comprising of just four chapters, 48 verses in total, is but a snapshot of one event in Jonah's life. The only other details that we have about this prophet of God is found in 2 Kings chapter 14 and the verse 25. Speaking there of God, it says, he restored the coasts of Israel from the entering of Hamath onto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-hethpar. From these words we notice two details that are given about this man called Jonah, this man who would be sent to this great city of Nineveh and preach a message of repentance. We're told that his father was Amittai. The father's name means my truth. And Jonah was going to preach God's truth to a heathen, pagan, ungodly city and citizens of Nineveh. Gath-hethpar was in Zebulun, 3 miles northeast of Nazareth. From that small hamlet, God was going to raise up a prophet who would shake a pagan city and its king, and see the most ruthless and brutal of people brought to a place of repentance through his preaching ministry. Tonight it is my intention to focus entirely upon the details that we have here in the opening two chapters of this little book. I want to highlight some dangers, the dangers of backsliding. But I also want you to see the lengths to which the God of heaven goes to in order to restore one of his wandering children. And so for the moments that remain to us, I want to preach a message that I've entitled The Recovery of a Backslidden Preacher. The Recovery of a Backslidden Preacher. In relation to Jonah the backslidden preacher, I want us to consider firstly the road of departure. The road of departure. Departure from God is what backsliding is in the simplest of terms. It is a forsaking of God's word. It is a forsaking of God's will. And it is a forsaking of God's way. Jonah was such a man. He was a prophet of God. He was a man of genuine faith who loved and feared the Lord. We're in no doubt about it. Indeed, as we read the record of Jonah chapter 1, we see that Jonah walked so closely with the God of heaven that he was entrusted with a prophetic word for an entire city-state, that city-state of Nineveh, and also of the kingdom of Assyria. God told this man from Gath-Hepher to arise in the verse 2, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. However, instead of obeying God's directive, we find that Jonah, he willfully and he deliberately disobeys God. There is a three-letter word that marks the moment of Jonah's departure from the Lord. It is a moment that Jonah steps off the road of obedience and steps onto the road of disobedience, a road that I hasten to add almost led to his death in a watery grave. That word, that three-lettered word, is found at the head and at the commencement of verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee on to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It seems such an insignificant word, this little word, but it is the juncture that marks Jonah's tragic departure from God, the God that he loved and the God that he served. See, before Jonah's feet was to be found back on the road of obedience, God is going to have to break this man's will by dragging his servant through one of the most terrifying experiences that a man in the Bible has ever gone through. Tonight I may be well addressing a Jonah in this place. A man or woman who once walked with God. A man or woman who once served the Lord. A man or woman who once had fellowship with God. However, a but came into your life. Like Jonah, maybe God asked you to go somewhere to serve Him in some particular place. But instead of yielding to the promptings of the Spirit, you disobeyed your Lord, and for years you've now been wandering in a spiritual wilderness. Maybe your backsliding is not as abrupt as Jonah's was. Your departure from the Lord has been marked by a gradual growing cold in the things of God. Prayer has become less and more infrequent and less frequent. Bible reading has become more sporadic in your life, witnessing for Jesus Christ. Well, that's just a thing of the past. The forsaking of the prayer meeting, the non-attendance at the gospel services, your absence at the family worship service are but the end manifestations of your backsliding. Because long before these ever took place, your departure from God was already well on its way. Over the 2.5 years of me being here, I have sadly watched those, and I have sadly witnessed the departure of some from the Lord. I'm not saying that it has been a departure that has taken individuals deep into sin and back into the world, but it is a departure from the Lord nonetheless. As I was reviewing, as I often do coming up to the holiday period, I started to think back about what it was like the first night that I came. I always try to do that. I always think back to the moment of my arrival here in Port Nolan. I want you to think back to then. Do you remember the first prayer meeting? Do you remember the first prayer meeting that I preached at? You were there, but you're no longer at the prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. Young people, remember whenever you came to the youth fellowship every week, but now your presence is sporadic. That is, if you even attend the youth fellowship anymore. Remember, you would never miss a gospel meeting. Now your seat is more often empty than it is full. Remember when you enjoyed coming to God's house, but now any excuse keeps you away. Remember whenever we stood for the first time together at the gospel open air service? Remember you were there? 2.5 years have gone. There's been a departure from the Lord. There's been a backsliding. Ground has been lost. And instead of going on with God, you're going back in your Christian walk. I tell you, these are signs of backsliding. These are as it were, signs that there is a growing call towards the things of the Lord. These are signs of a departure from your Lord. I wonder tonight in this place, would you be willing to admit that God's house holds no attraction for you anymore? Are you willing to acknowledge that the preaching of God's word, that word that you once enjoyed, that has no interest for you anymore? Are you going to be tonight honest with yourself, man or woman in this place, and say that you've departed from the Lord? I tell you, take warning. Take warning from this prophet. Take warning from this backslidden preacher. God may have to bring you into circumstances most terrifying in order to bring you back onto Himself. You know, there is one mark that is common to every case of backsliding, and it is this. It is that every backslider flees from the presence of the Lord. That is the natural disposition of the sinner's heart. It is always the sinner's intention to run from God. Ever since Adam and Eve ran from God, and that voice as it walked in the garden in the cool of the day, ever since that moment of human history, mankind in their sin has tried to escape, elude, and avoid the very presence of God. Sinners run from God, we know that. But backsliders are not far behind them. They fall into the way that they once lived before they met the Lord Jesus Christ, a way that takes him away from God. There is folly on the part of the backslider as they attempt to flee the presence of the Lord. Jonah was going to learn this because he was going to realize that God's presence cannot be escaped. The psalmist was conscious of that very fact and truth. He was conscious of the all-prevailing presence of God when he penned those words in Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Backsliders find this to be so as they try to flee from God's presence. Have you not found that to be so in your own experience? As you've tried to depart from the Lord, have you not found that the God of heaven, the one to whom you're married to, has pursued after you from out of nowhere? The gospel text appears and comes to your mind. A Christian is drawn across your pathway. That gospel text spotted there in the telegraph pole, the words of the hymn come or recalled. That old Christian friend is bumped into. That sea of family members' consistent life is an embarrassment to your backslidden state, all of which challenge you with respect to your departed state from the Lord. Ah, yes, you may be able to escape God's felt presence. You may do that by avoiding the gospel service. You may do that by isolating yourself from Christians that you once fellowshiped with. You may do that by preoccupying yourself with business or some hobby or some social pleasure. But you cannot get away from God. You cannot get from God's presence. Thank God for that. Thank God he's pursuing you in this place. He's wanting to restore you. No, the road of departure took Jonah far from where God intended him to be. He never thought he would be so far from God. Think of it. In fellowship with God, having received a word from God, entrusted with a message from God to a people, and now where do we find him? Taking himself on his heels instead of traveling 500 miles northeast to Nineveh, Jonah conveniently travels 60 miles southwest to Joppa and boards a ship that was bound for Tarshish, a city in southern Spain. Can Can I say that just because Jonah conveniently found a boat there in the docks of Joppa, just because he conveniently found a man who was willing to take him onto that boat after he had paid the fare, that did not mean that God was providentially providing for him in his backslidden state. One preacher said, Satan always provides convenient transportation for those who are trying to run away from the will of God. Listen, backslider, I tell you, Satan will provide for you, young person. He'll provide for you an unsaved boyfriend, unsaved girlfriend to keep you from returning to the Lord. He'll make sure that he secures for you a job that keeps you away from the prayer meeting, keeps you away from the youth fellowship. He'll make sure that he'll get you a job that keeps you from the Lord's Day services as much as possible. And he'll see to it. Oh, he'll see to it that he embitters your heart with respect to some hurt that emboldens your stubbornness to return to the Lord. You may be thinking like Jonah, and I'm sure as he thought there in the docks, standing there in the slipway of Joppa, I'm sure he thought to himself, everything's going well for me. Things might be going well for you, but I say that the Bible makes it very clear that the wayward child of God will at some stage have to face the Father's chastening rod. A lack of chastening is an evidence of a lack of sonship. Let me repeat that. A lack of chastening is an evidence of the lack of sonship. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Jonah went down. We read of that direction on multiple occasions. Look at the verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarsus, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarsus, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them on to Tarsus. Again in the verse 5. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Because the spiritual direction of the backslider is always downward. There's always a downward trend spiritually. And so it was in the life of Jonah. There was a physical going down, and there was a spiritual going down. And soon Jonah found himself sleeping. Verse 5. Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. And as I thought about that, I started to think about what Jonah was asleep to. Spiritually speaking, what was Jonah asleep to? And what are backsliders asleep to? Well, can I say first of all that he was asleep to God and his word? Jonah in his backslidden state was no longer hearing from God. And Jonah in his backslidden state no longer wanted to hear from God. As one who was asleep, Jonah was now desensitized to the speaking voice of God. Backslider, that is your state tonight in this house. You know, while others in your family, while others in this congregation, while they hear the word and they're ready and they're keen to obey the word of God, you sit unmoved, unchallenged, unchanged by the word. It's not the state that God intended you to be in whenever he saved you by his grace. But here's a man now, and he's asleep to God, and he's asleep to God's word. Another thing that Jonah was asleep to, he was asleep to his sin. You know, Jonah had disobeyed God's clearly revealed will for his life. And that is sin. But here's Jonah, having openly rebelled against God. What do we find him? He's now sleeping. His conscience no longer bothers him anymore. It maybe did whenever he first took to his heels and made his way down to Joppa. He maybe was troubled about doing that. Maybe when he paid the ship's fare and he walked the gangplank, his heart was troubled. Now he's in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, and the voice of conscience is no longer heard by this sleeping, backslidden prophet and preacher. Wonder, backslider, do you remember what it was like having your conscience troubled because of your backslidden state? Do you remember it? Do you remember that first Lord's Day that you stayed away from God's house? I'm sure you do. It troubled you. It bothered you. However, one week came, another went, and it seemed to be that conscience, that voice, no longer troubled you. Within a month, you find yourself watching the Sunday sport, buying the Sunday paper, heading out to the shops, doing your own pleasure on the Lord's Day. What happened? You became insensitive to your sin. Conscience no longer troubled you. Like Jonah, you find yourself asleep to your sin. It is my prayer that God will take of His word tonight and arouse you from your spiritual sleep. Awake you from your spiritual slumber that has descended upon your life. Awake. Awake, backslider. Turn on to your God. Return on to Him. He is married on to you. Return, I say, backslider. Return on to your God. But he was asleep to something else. He was asleep to the storm. Now these mariners were not asleep to it. These individuals, we read in the verse 4, tells us that the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. That little book of Nahum, wonderful book, we read there in the opening verses of Nahum chapter 1, we read that God's way is in the storm. And God's way was in this storm, providentially. And yet, sleeping Jonah was oblivious to it all. He was oblivious to the chastening hand of God in the storm. He didn't realize that this storm had been providentially sent by the very God of heaven, initially at least. He didn't recognize that God had brought him into the storm in order to bring him back onto himself. God tried to use the storm to engender repentance on the part of this backslidden preacher. And yet the storm could not waken up Jonah. No, backslider, those afflictions that have come into your life, those troubles that have come into your home, those tragedies that have come into your circle of friends, they were all God's storms. They were all His storms. He knew that you were running from Him. And so He sent the storm to turn you around and turn you back to God. You know, it's amazing. Even in my brief period of time, the hospital beds that I have set beside, and I have discerned that it was a God-sent storm. And yet the person lying in the bed has not. God sent the storm. Jonah was asleep to the storm. Ah, that the afflictions of life and the troubles of life. Oh, let those God-sent troubles soften your heart, backslider, until you're found in the place where you ought to be with the Lord. He was asleep to God and His word. He was asleep to His sin. He was asleep to the storm. He was asleep to prayer. So frightened of the tempest were these seasoned seafaring men that we read in the verse 5 that they cried every man unto his God. You know, even ungodly men pray in life's storms. Even ungodly men pray in life's storms. But while they prayed, Jonah slept. Here's a prayer meeting in the midst of the storm. Jonah is in such a backslidden state that he's nowhere to be found whenever the prayer meeting is happening on the deck of that ship. But the question goes out. On Wednesday night we met in this place. A prayer prayer meeting happened. Were you there? Were you there? Apart from those family things that we have to care for, we understand mothers care for children. We understand that all. But were you asleep? Asleep to prayer? We need to hear the words of the shipmaster. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. This land that we live in, this land that we love, this land that we cherish, it's in the midst of a storm, a moral storm, a storm that threatens even the preservation of gospel truth, and yet you, as a child of God, are nowhere to be found. And the storm has broke upon our nation. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. God was going to waken this man up. He was going to waken this backslidden preacher on this road of departure. And so I want you to notice, secondly and finally, we thought about the road of departure. I want you to think about the road of recovery. You know, the amazing thing about Jonah is this, that so stubborn was Jonah in his backslidden state. So stubborn was he in his rebellious state that we find that he was willing to die a backslider rather than get right with God. Now, we know the end of the story. We know that there was a great fish provided by God, but Jonah didn't. Throw me overboard, he said. That was his counsel to the mariners. But he didn't realize that God was going to preserve his life. Here's a man so stubborn in his backslidden state that he was willing to die a backslider than more than get right with God. Well, the mariners eventually heeded Jonah's counsel. They threw him overboard. It resulted in the calming of that storm. But what about Jonah? Well, verse 17, chapter 1, verse 1 of chapter 2. Let's read it. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. I find the details of those verses to be amazing. Amazing. The amazing part, however, is not that God had prepared a great fish. That's not the amazing part of those verses. For if God can create this world in 6 days out of nothing, and if he can direct the course of every planet and star through this universe, I have no problem in believing that God could prepare a great fish. I have no problem in believing that. The amazing part is not even that this great fish swallowed Jonah. It's not even that Jonah survived in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. You know what the amazing part of the verse is? Is that it took Jonah 3 days before he prayed. That's the amazing part. That it took him 3 days before he prayed on to God. How obstinate. How stubborn. How entrenched was this backslidden man in his backslidden state that it took him 3 days before he would call upon God to do something about his circumstances? And yet, I look out into this place tonight, and I look at people who have been away from the Lord for a month, for 2 months, for a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And as yet, you haven't called upon your God. Oh, that the cry would go up from you tonight, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It was this prayer that Jonah offered here in the belly of the fish that marked the commencement of Jonah's recovery. Remember that I said that backslidden, and in his backslidden state, that Jonah had no and was asleep to prayer. Remember I said that? Well, now no longer. Here's a man, and he started praying again. In that prayer, there was an acknowledgement that of his sin and where that sin had taken him. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, he said, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. Thy billows and thy waves passed over. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. The initial words of Jonah's prayer are marked by a sense of despair and hopelessness on the part of this backslidden preacher. And is it not the case that God brings such people into the deep where they feel that they've been cast out of God's sight forever? And yet, I want you to mark a turning point here in the verse 4, because we read there, then said I am cast out of thy sight, verse 4, yet I will look again. I will look again toward thy holy temple. By the eye of faith, Jonah was going to turn his eyes again to the holy temple there standing in Jerusalem. Why there? Well, that was the place of sacrifice. That was the place where the lamb, that daily lamb, was slain morning and evening. It was the place of the blood. It was a foreshadowing. All that happened within the temple precincts was a foreshadowing of what would occur there on Calvary's middle cross when Christ, the Lamb of God, would be slain, where his blood would be shed to make an atonement for the soul. All those sacrifices foreshadowed Christ once and for all sacrifice for sins, foreshadowed that great sacrifice that would meet man's sin problem and settle the sin question once and for all. Here we find a man, and he's looking towards the place of sacrifice. He's looking to the altar. He's looking to the blood. He's looking to the Lamb. In other words, he's looking to Calvary, because he realizes that he has sinned against God, because backsliding is sin. And he realized that he needed cleansing again. Where was cleansing going to be found? It was going to be found in none other place but at the cross of Calvary. This man acknowledged that he needed cleansing again, that he needed the blood applied again. And he looked to the Lamb of God. Maybe tonight find you in this place at a distance from God. Maybe you feel like Jonah. You feel that God has forgotten you. You feel that you've been cast out of his presence forever. Could I encourage you to do as Jonah did? Look again to the place of sacrifice. Consider the place where the blood of heaven's Lamb was shed. Look to Calvary and seek forgiveness there for your sins. Learn again what Jonah learned in the strangest of all Bible colleges. Learn that salvation is of the Lord. Having wandered from God, Jonah had learned this valuable lesson that none other but God himself can deliver, save, rescue, even a backslider. Jonah had two options as a backslider. With this we close. They are the two options that lie before you at the close of this meeting. You can either give place to despondency and hopelessness. You can convince yourself that God no longer loves you because of your disobedience. And you can say, I'm so far down, I can never get back to God. There's no hope for me. You can do that. But if you choose that option tonight, I tell you, you'll go deeper into despair. It'll cause you to go even deeper into the depths of depression and hopelessness, especially if you once walked with God. Or you You can choose the second option. You can call upon your God for mercy. You can come back home again. No matter how far you've run away, you can come home. Thank God Jonah made the right choice. He came home. I wonder, will you? We don't have time to go further into Jonah's story. You know what happened. You're aware how God delivered him from the fish's belly. I don't know whether, as we've often said, whether this fish was an Arminian and he just couldn't stomach this realization that salvation is of the Lord, or whether he was a Calvinist and he wanted to get Jonah out preaching this grand and glorious message. I don't know what type of religious affiliation and what he believed with respect to his theology, but what I do know is that God delivered Jonah and he recommissioned him. And he threw him back in the potter's wind. And he made a vessel again unto honor as seemeth good for the potter to make. Because Jonah learned these very valuable lessons. He learned the lesson that God is the God of the second chance. And he learned the lesson that God doesn't throw the clay away. And he learned the lesson that failure isn't final. I pray that tonight will mark the night of your return to the Lord. That you'll remember the Lord again. Remember him again. That's what Jonah said. He said, I remembered the Lord. That broke him. He remembered his Lord. He remembered his Savior. And thank God, tonight you return, you too will find out, like Jonah found out, that God is the God of the second chance. You'll find out that failure with him isn't final, and you'll find out that he doesn't throw the clay away. And God can restore you. Return. Return. Return on to thy God. In the depths of your heart you return and find out, like Jonah and Peter and Onesimus and John Mark, and you'll find out, like this preacher, in personal experience, you'll find out that God has something for you to do. God will use you again, just as he did Jonah. May God bless this word to every heart tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Can I say, if you're in this meeting and you know not Jesus Christ, God will send the storm. He'll send the storm. Just as he did with Jonah, this backslider, he'll send storms into your life. Heed those storms. Heed this message tonight. Come to the Savior. Run no longer from his presence. Come to him. So if I can help you tonight, make myself available at the door. We're here to help you. Maybe, child of God, there has been a wandering, there has been a departure. Think of it. Think about it. Think about over those 2.5 years, ask yourself the question, has there been a going on with God, or have I been going back? Tonight's the night to rededicate the life. It's not about coming back to the prayer meeting. It's about coming back to the Lord. You need to come back to the Lord. May God help you to come back tonight. Be honest with him. Be honest and frank with God tonight. May God challenge your heart. Our Father in heaven, we leave the issues of this meeting with thee. We think of this man, a preacher, a prophet. He finds himself so far from God. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Bring us back to thee. As a body of thy people, bring us back to thee. Personally, individually, bring us back to thee. Lord, work by thy Spirit. Take thy word. Apply it where this has been needed. In the lives of individuals. Lord, we leave the rest with thee. We have preached the word that you have given. Lord, we leave that which is of God with thee. Lord, do thine own work. And O God, the Spirit of God, to challenge hearts, for we pray this in Jesus' most precious and all glorious name. Amen and amen. Thank you.